Welcome to our current teaching series entitled Happily Ever After. Please take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, the history book of the New Testament, the book of Acts. And today we're going to be continuing and actually completing our series Happily Ever After. And we're going to be looking here in Acts chapter 18, and we're going to be talking about the topic Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. Teamwork makes the dream work. And we're going to talk about habit number 6 in this series as we discuss the work that is necessary to have a happily ever after marriage. Now, today, as we think about the topic, teamwork makes the dream work, we need to know the fact that there's no I in team. There's no I in team. And I think it's important for us to realize that because so many marriages, rather than knowing the wonder of working together and building a life together, too many times, rather than doing that, we begin to conflict with one another, we begin to compete with one another, rather than complementing one another. And in so many marriages, we're always trying to change our spouse. How's that working out for you, by the way? Probably not too good, right? God's plan is for us to come along aside one another and to work together as a team, knowing that we're different, knowing that we're unique, but coming together and working together as a team. And today we're going to be looking at an awesome, awesome couple who gives us a great example of teamwork. Now, today we're going to be looking at our first New Testament couple. So far in our first 5 messages, we've looked at Old Testament couples. Today we're going to be looking at our one and only New Testament couple. And you know, this is a whole new thing for me. I personally have never heard anybody speak on this topic, couples in the Bible. I've never thought about the Bible from that perspective. I've never looked at the Bible and thought, okay, let's look at the couples in the Bible. I mean, maybe you have, okay, but this was a whole new experience for me and a whole new approach to marriage and the Word of God. And one of the things that struck me was how few couples there are actually mentioned in the New Testament. I mean, when you think about it, there aren't a whole lot of couples actually named in the New Testament. I mean, there's lots of people mentioned, lots of individuals, and some of those individuals are married and things like that, but how many of them are actually named together? I'm going to tell you the answer is very few. Of course, you got people like Joseph and Mary. I mean, we could use them as a couple. Here they are, a great team working together in a positive way. God used them to be part of God's love story of Jesus coming into the world. We could have looked at another team who didn't use their teamwork in a good way, but a bad way. We could have looked at Ananias and Sapphira. You know anything about them? They worked together as a team. They said, hey, when you go to church, tell them we gave this much. They were working as a team, right? But they lied. And right in church, God struck them dead. Yeah. Yeah, God struck them dead for lying about their giving. So don't ever be calling up Brenda saying your giving statement is not right unless you're absolutely sure, okay, that it is correct. You don't want to be lying about your giving. And when you say you're tithing, that means 10% of your gross income, by the way. That was all free, okay? But we're not going to look at either one of those examples. Who we're going to look at today is a couple that perhaps you've never heard of. And our happily ever after story today is Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla. I don't know if you ever heard about this couple, but let me tell you a few things you need to know about them. Number one, they're mentioned 6 times in the Bible. 6 times they're mentioned in the Bible. Number two, they're mentioned in 4 different books in the Bible. They're mentioned in 4 different books in the Bible. We're going to look here in Acts chapter 18 at the first time they're mentioned. But they're also mentioned in the book of Romans. They're mentioned in 1 Corinthians. And they're mentioned in 2 Timothy. So although they're not mentioned a lot in the Bible, 6 times is not too many times. They are mentioned in four different books of the Bible. And by the way, we're going to look at all six times they're mentioned in the message today. We'll cover every single one of them. The third thing you need to know about them is they are always mentioned together. There's not a single time where Aquila is not mentioned without Priscilla, and Priscilla is not mentioned without Aquila. I mean, they were truly a team. They were truly a team, and I'm so excited about looking at them today. Today we're going to talk about habit number six. Habit number six is companionship. So far in this series, we've talked about the hard work that goes into a happily ever after marriage. Our pithy statement for this series is, falling in love is easy, staying in love takes hard work. And as we said in our opening message, falling in love is easy, all it takes is what? A pulse. That's all that's necessary. People fall in love, or at least they think they fall in love, every single day. You don't have to do a whole lot to fall in love. But staying in love is very different. It takes lots of hard work. And it's so important that we realize you can never put your marriage on autopilot. You can never let your marriage stand by itself in the sense that you take it for granted. You're going to have to constantly work at your marriage. Just like if you have a home or you have a car or whatever, it takes constant maintenance. And the same is true with a marriage. You got to constantly work at it. And in this series, we're talking about the hard work of a happily ever after marriage. We already talked about habit number one, which is Christ and the Bible, the foundation of a happy marriage. This was the most important message in the series. If you missed this message, please go to capitalbaptist.org and listen to the message. Okay? Christ and the Bible. If you don't get the foundation right, your whole marriage is going to crumble. Number two, we talked about habit number two, commitment. A commitment to doing God's will in choosing a spouse. We talked about finding the love of your life. If you desire to be married, and you want to have a great marriage, well, you got to, listen, you got to start out right. And that comes with the dating, that comes with the engagement, that comes with all the work you got to do before you get married. And so in that message I talked about finding the love of your life, if you're on the search and you're hoping to be married, that's great, nothing wrong with that. But go learn how to do it right and listen to that message. Number three was the habit of communication. We talked about speaking the same language, making sure when you're communicating in the same language. Habit number four was compatibility. How many people say, well, we're just not compatible? And we learned in that message there's no such thing as a compatible marriage. There is no marriage on earth that's compatible. We have to work at compatibility. And we talked about help, I've married the wrong person. And then last week, habit number five was control. We talked about the birds and the bees. And the whole idea of control is not a negative idea of controlling the person, but really what it means is controlling things that will do great damage to your marriage. Things like addiction. You want to damage your marriage? Get hooked on dope. Get hooked on anything, pretty much, okay? You want to damage your marriage? Get out of control when it comes to money. Get in lots and lots of debt. That'll do damage to your marriage. But in that message, we specifically focused on sex and having the right control when it comes to sex, meaning having the right discipline to do it God's way. Today, habit number six, companionship. Companionship. Now, when you think about companionship, I want to look at the statement down below there before we read Acts chapter 18. And I want to point out God's plan. Always go back to the foundation. Always go back to the book of Genesis. And what we learn from God's foundation, God's design is this. God made Eve from Adam's rib, indicating companionship and equality. She was not taken from his head, suggesting superiority or from his feet, suggesting inferiority. Now, can I tell you today that God could have used any body part from Adam he wanted to use to make Eve? Do you agree on that? Okay, God could have used his right toe. God could have used his nose. God could have used anything he wanted to use, because he's God, right? He intentionally chose the rib, and I believe there's great symbolism in that. The fact that husband and wife are to walk hand in hand, side by side, heart by heart in marriage. Not being inferior, okay, not being superior, but being equal, being companions in marriage. And this is so important to realize. Remember about Adam and Eve when we talked about the foundation? Who named all the animals? It was who? Adam, right? Remember we looked at that? Adam was called of God and said, Adam, I'm going to bring all the animals by to you, and I want you to name them. Remember this? And they walked by, and Adam stood there and said, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Kangaroo, Mr. and Mrs. Horse, Mr. and Mrs. Cockroach, Mr. and Mrs., you know, Cat, you know, and each of these animals came by, and Adam gave them their names. What was the story behind that? What was the reason behind that? Was it because God, you know, was clueless, that God had amnesia, God couldn't name the animals? No. God, the Bible says, was showing Adam a valuable lesson, and that was, of all of God's creation, Adam was the only one that was alone. There was a Mr. and Mrs. Spider, there was a Mr. and Mrs., you know, Crocodile, but there was no Mr. and Mrs. Adam. Adam was alone. And God said, I'm going to make a helpmeet for you. And helpmeet doesn't mean completer. We are complete in Jesus Christ. Okay, when you get married, it's not two halves making a whole. Okay, I am complete without Debbie, and Debbie is complete without me. We are complete in Jesus Christ. That is where we get our completion. If you marry someone thinking they're going to make you complete, you're already in great trouble going into your marriage. Because there's needs that you have in your life no husband will ever meet. And there are needs in your life that no wife will ever meet. You are complete in Jesus Christ. And you don't get married to get complete. And listen, the whole idea of marriage was companionship. God wanted there to be a Mr. and Mrs. Adam. And so God created Eve. Marriage is about companionship. Well, let's look at an awesome couple, Aquila and Priscilla. They're mentioned six times in the Bible. We're going to read in Acts chapter 18, where it says of them, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. So Paul leaves. He's on what we call the first missionary journey. And he goes from Athens and he goes to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently gone or had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And then how did they get there? Well, they were there because of religious persecution. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. They had left Rome because of religious persecution, because they were Jewish. And the Bible tells us he, being Paul, came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Let's go to page 2 of our notes and let's talk about teamwork makes the dream work. Now, as we begin, I want to read to you a paragraph here that I put together that just talks about the relationship of companionship that Aquila and Priscilla had together. Let's read this. It says, Aquila and Priscilla were strong enough to share credit. That's a huge statement right there. So again, I cannot tell you how many marriages they compete against each other. I mean, it is a massive competition. That is not God's plan. This couple was strong enough to share credit. In fact, they are sometimes known as Aquila and Priscilla team, but more often they were known as the Priscilla and Aquila team. Okay, so sometimes they're mentioned first name husband, second name wife, which today is the most common way and the most acceptable way, and the same was true in Bible times. But in the Bible here, okay, sometimes you got Aquila's name first and you got Priscilla's name second, but actually more times than not, Priscilla's name comes first, then Aquila, okay? Interesting. At the first mention of their names, Luke, author of Acts, listed Aquila's name before the wife's name as the husband of Priscilla, but hinted that Priscilla was more influential than her husband by putting her name first on the next three occasions. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he calls them Aquila and Priscilla. But in his letters to the Romans and to Timothy, he calls them Priscilla and Aquila. Overall, Aquila's name comes before Priscilla twice, but Priscilla's name preceded Aquila five times. Now, we're not here to debate that or argue about that or whatever. The point we need to make is that God was showing us they were a team. And there wasn't some huge male ego involved here, okay? There was not jealousy here, that they worked side by side as companions together. And Aquila chose to marry a strong-willed woman. And you know, you got to be who you are. Some of you are, you know, a little more compliant, and some of you are a little stronger, okay? In this situation, he chose what would be quite a woman who was quite a leader, okay, in her own right. And she exerted influence, okay? She exerted influence. Doesn't mean she was a rebellious wife. Doesn't mean that she didn't submit to her husband. None of that's here in the text. We don't see any indication of that. It just means that she was used of God in a mighty, mighty way, just like her husband. The bottom line is they were a team, and they worked closely together. Now, there's one statement and one statement only that's in the Bible five times about marriage. There's only one statement in the whole Bible that's mentioned five times. That ought to tell you it's important. Here it is. Genesis 2:24 is the first mention. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. There's the blueprint. There's God's plan. Jesus came along and affirmed this plan. In Matthew 19:5, he said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." In Mark 10:7-8, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they're no longer two, but one flesh." And then Paul came along and affirmed it as well in 1 Corinthians 6:16, "Or do you not know that he was joined to a harlot as one body with her? For the two," he says, "shall become one flesh." And then also Paul says in Ephesians 5:31, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Five times. Do you get it? Five times. God says marriage is three things. Number one, it's leaving. Leaving father and mother. We talked about what that meant in the first message. We won't go into great detail, but simply put, it's not abandoning your parents. Okay, forever you should honor your father and your mother, and you should never, ever do anything to your spouse to limit their involvement with their parents, okay? Do not play that game. What it does mean, though, is there's a shift in priority, where your spouse now becomes your priority. You leave father and mother. Number two, you cleave with each other. You come together, you kind of super glue together, it says. You leave and you cleave. And then thirdly, it's weaving. You're leaving, you're cleaving, you're weaving, you're entering into a one flesh relationship. And certainly part of that is sexual union. We learned that, okay? The two become one, husband and wife, the birds and the bees coming together. But it's way beyond just sex. It's a oneness that God brings into our lives as we work together as a team and as we work together as companions. And this is exactly what Aquila and Priscilla represent to us. They represent to us that teamwork makes the dream work and that we have to work together as a team. So with that as our background, let's dive in and let's look at four things that can help us to be a better team. First of all, grow as a team. Grow as a team. In Acts chapter 18, the Bible tells us how that Paul comes to Corinth. He had been in Athens. He'd been at Mars Hill. And when he comes, he's really beaten up. I mean, we don't have time to go into it, but he has gone through one bad experience after another. I mean, being a missionary is not easy. And it wasn't easy for Paul, and it's not easy for our missionaries today. And he has gone through lots of stuff. And normally he's with the team, but for whatever reason, he at this point on the missionary journey is all by himself. And he comes to this major city, Corinth, and he comes, and guess who he meets? He meets this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Now, Paul came to Corinth because of his missionary effort. This couple came because of religious persecution, because of religious persecution. But God brought them together. God brought them together. And the Bible tells us how that God brought them together and how that they came together and they became a team. The lesson here for couples is to grow as a team. They created a very special relationship, so much so that 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy is the last book of the Bible Paul would write. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy is the last chapter he's going to write. And Paul right here is at the end of his life. He is probably hours away from being beheaded, certainly no more than days away from being beheaded. He is about ready to check out of this earth to go to his eternal home in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he's got time. You know, if some of us were going to die, we have a heart attack, bam, we're gone, okay? Some of us are going to linger. Some of us are no, we're going to die, you know? And when you get to the end of your life and you got some time, you know, God doesn't take you out immediately, what do you start thinking about? You start thinking about a specific thing. You start thinking about special people in your life. Paul didn't have a wife to think about. Paul didn't have a wife to consider. He's got his friends on his mind. And he mentions who he's thinking about. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19, he says, greet Prisca or Priscilla and Aquila. I mean, at the very end of his life, when he's thinking about special relationships and special people in his life, he's thinking about this couple who God, by his sovereign plan, brought them together in Corinth. In Corinth. You see, the whole idea here is to share your life. Do not isolate your life. Do not isolate your life. Build relationships that can help you to grow. We're going to see that this couple, because of their relationship with Paul, and Paul because his relationship with them, they're all going to mutually benefit to grow. To grow together. And notice the mix between a married couple and a single adult man. See, it's important that we not isolate ourselves from each other, you know? I mean, the church models today, the larger churches in our culture, most of them, you got to be 36 years old before you get to go to big church. Something's very wrong with that. If that's what it takes to build a huge church, I guess we're never going to have a huge church, okay? That is not biblical, okay? The church is portrayed as a family. Do you understand that? We're portrayed as a family. We are a family. And listen, yeah, we're going to have some things specifically to encourage single adults, and we're going to have some things to specifically encourage married adults, but we're never going to isolate ourselves from each other, okay? You don't have to do it that way, okay? You don't have to do it that way. And we need to realize that, and we need to understand this is a biblical model. It's a biblical pattern. And you know, we live in one of the most unique areas in the nation, in that literally our culture here is 50% married adults and 50% single adults. It's literally 50-50 in this community. And you know what? Our church ought to reflect the community. You know, I believe if a church is an area that's racially diverse like ours, the church ought to be racially diverse. I believe if a church is healthy and a church is doing what it's supposed to be doing, it should be a clear reflection of the community. But I'm telling you, this is a whole, you're getting a lot of my church philosophy now, whatever, okay? But this stuff disturbs me, okay? It ticks me off. You got to be 36 years old to go to a big church or whatever. What in the world is going on in America? I tell you, it's sickening, okay? We are a family. Do you understand that? The church is a family. And yes, Debbie and I are married, but you, if you're married or not married, we're a family, okay? They came together. Listen, build in your life relationships that will cause you to grow. And this is going to strengthen your companionship. The Bible says no man lives and dies to himself. Don't isolate yourself. You as a couple, don't separate yourself and get over it. You know, so many couples are unhealthy because they isolate themselves. This is why it's so important that you get involved in a small group. One of the reasons we make such a big deal at this church of getting connected with other people in a small group is to help you grow. To help you grow. Don't isolate your life. It's not healthy for a good, strong marriage. We need to sharpen each other. Number two, give as a team. Give as a team. Understand your marriage is not just about you receiving. A marriage that is a team is a giving team. And what happens is this couple in verse 3, here is Paul again. He's all by himself. He's been beaten and bruised. He's gone through all kinds of problems, all kinds of difficulties in his life, okay? And he comes in, he's all by himself, and he meets this couple, and he, you know, at this point, I guess doesn't have any funds from other churches, so he needs to do what he does for his normal trade. He's a tent maker. And so God used work to bring them together. And apparently they had built a pretty decent business, a tent making business, good enough that they could use somebody to help them, okay? And so Paul came along and says, I'm a tent maker, you got a tent making business, can I come and be with you? And their attitude, because they had a heart for God, was to give, to be generous, to the point they let Paul move in with them. And he lived with them not a week or 2 weeks or a month. He lived with them for a year and a half. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in verse 11, he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Have any of you ever had anybody move in with you? Do not get any bitter thoughts right now, okay? When somebody tells me you all are moving in together, I get a little lump in my throat, okay, or whatever, okay? Wonder what's going to happen with that deal or whatever, okay? It's not easy. It's not easy. 18 long months. When somebody else lives with you, Debbie and I can personally tell you, your water bill goes up. Your food bill goes up. Your electric bill goes up. Your blood pressure goes up. It's not easy. It's not easy. They were willing to let him come in and live with them. And beyond that, guess where the church met? The church also met in their home. 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their what? Their house. See, the bottom line is these people, this couple, understood that part of their companionship and their team was to give. Was to give. Here's the point. Share your resources. One of the most wonderful things that you can do is to share your resources. 1 Timothy 6:18 talks about the fact that we need to be ready to give, willing to share. I mean, one of the most wonderful things that any of us can do, whether we're married or not, but especially in this context today, a husband and wife, I mean, working hard, building a life together, doing their job, whether that's a stay-at-home mom or working outside the home or a stay-at-home dad or working outside, whatever the arrangements might be in the marriage or whatever, but then using that as a platform of generosity. Using that as a platform of giving and sharing. You know, God blesses generosity. In Malachi chapter 3, it tells us that we ought to bring the tithe to the church. We ought to bring it. And God says, when you bring it, I'm going to bless you. Do you want God's blessing on your marriage? One of the ways to get God's blessing is to be generous. God says he'll curse your finances, and with that, curse your marriage when you steal from God and do not bring the tithe. Maybe you're having troubles in your marriage because you're stealing the tithe. It's just a thought, something you might want to consider, okay? Give as a team. Be generous. Share your resources. Number three, go as a team. Go as a team. Paul is a missionary. I believe this is the longest he ever stayed in one place, Corinth, 18 months. I haven't studied up on this lately, but that's how I remember it in my mind, okay? If he stayed somewhere else longer, I can be corrected, okay? But I think this is the longest he ever stayed in one place. So he stayed a year and a half in this place. And now it's time to move on. And so God speaks to his heart and tells him, go to Syria. Now, Syria is hundreds of miles away. This is not like, get on the boat and, ride around the corner or whatever. He's going to move hundreds of miles. Guess who's going with him? Verse 18. So Paul still remained a good while, speaking of Corinth. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for where? For Syria. And guess what? Priscilla and Aquila were what? Were with him. Were with him. Wow. Wow. Powerful stuff here. Okay. They were in this thing as a team. In fact, if you only remember one passage about Priscilla and Aquila, I would prefer you choose Romans 16, 3 through 4. I think it's the most impressive thing ever said about them. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. This couple took risk. I mean, they were willing to go to Syria. They were willing to do whatever God wanted them to do. Paul says, I'm so thankful for them. Not only do I thank them, all the churches of the Gentiles thank them. I mean, we don't know exactly what they did. But it was a dangerous world. And Paul caused controversy everywhere he went. And, everywhere he went, there were riots, there was beatings, there was all kinds of things, okay? But yet, Aquila and Priscilla were willing to stand side by side with this courageous leader. And they risked their life for him. They literally risked their life for him. Go as a team. And on the back of our notes, go as a team means share the gospel. Don't get caught up on moving. I mean, that was the idea there, that God in his plan wanted them to go with Paul. So don't get all caught up and say, well, if we're going to have a really good marriage, I guess we're going to have to go be missionaries and we'll have to go somewhere. No, that's not the principle. Okay? That's what they did, but there's a principle behind the whole idea of them moving. It was all about the gospel. It was all about the gospel. And the point is this, share the gospel. Let your marriage be a marriage where you and your spouse, or your spouse and you, are involved in taking the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Where you are telling other people about Christ, and you're discussing the Word of God with other people. The Bible says, go into all the world, whatever part of that world God has given to you, and preach what? The gospel, the good news of Jesus to others. They were willing to go. Are you willing to go? Are you? See, the whole idea is companionship is not, do you get this? It's not isolating yourselves and eating chicken together and, you know, or whatever, okay? We're talking about a marriage that makes a difference. We're talking about your marriage making a difference. This is what this couple represents. Is your marriage making a difference? Is this world different because of you? I mean, are you coming together and sharing your life with others? Are you sharing your resources with others? Are you sharing the gospel with others? This is a great marriage. And number four, guide as a team. Guide as a team. Well, something significant is going to happen. They went from Syria, then they went to Ephesus. And something big happened in Ephesus. Paul left Ephesus and told Aquila and Priscilla, you got to stay. They didn't like it too much. Verse 19 tells us he came to Ephesus and left them, speaking of Priscilla and Aquila, there. He himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him, meaning Aquila and Priscilla, asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent. In fact, he took leave of them saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. See, there came a time when Paul had worked with them and it was time to let them fly on their own. What do we see here? The whole idea of being mentored, the whole idea of investing in other people. You know, as God has grown you, one of the things that you ought to be doing is guiding as a team. Guide as a team. And what do we see happen here? We see something incredible. They share the word of God. And this is so powerful. In Acts chapter 18, it says that there was this guy who came to Ephesus, and his name was Apollos. Now, Apollos was a very charismatic individual. The Bible calls him here eloquent. I mean, he was a great public speaker. He was a very likable person. The problem was he didn't know anything about Jesus. And he was going around. He believed the word of God as he knew it. And all he had heard about was that the Messiah will come. He didn't know the Messiah had come. And he's going around and man, he is preaching and carrying on and speaking up for the Lord. I mean, he's got it down. The passion's down. The problem is he doesn't have the right message. So Priscilla and Aquila hear him speaking, and they said, hey, dude, you don't have the whole story here, okay? Verse 24, he was an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. But the problem was this man had not been instructed in the way of the Lord. I'm reading verse 25. He was fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. And so what do we find here? We find Aquila and Priscilla come alongside of him. Verse 26, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God. Listen, I love this, more accurately. Okay? They understood his heart. They understood he just didn't understand. So they didn't make a big public spectacle of him. And, you know, they didn't stand up and say, hey, dude, you got it all messed up, you know, whatever. No, they said, you know, can we have coffee with you or whatever, okay? Man, you are really a good speaker and all this stuff, but we want to let you in on something. The Messiah came. And his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. And they instructed him. They guided him. I love this. More accurately. And you know what that dude did? He went out and he became one of the mightiest preachers in the world at that day. So much, real quick, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians, this is really impressive. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This, I'm just trying to show you how God used this couple. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, there's a problem in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but I want to show you how the problem was because of what Aquila and Priscilla did, okay? So now that I got you all confused, you know. All right, so what was going on? Well, just like today, we got famous preachers. And people like to identify with those famous preachers. You know, it's not about Jesus, it's about this preacher or that preacher, or I like this one or I like that one or whatever. That's always been around, probably always will be around. But the Bible says it's carnal. It's carnal. And they were going around, and they were talking about these different preachers, you know. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, now I say this, that each of you says, here's what they're saying, well, I'm of Paul. I mean, Paul's my man. I like him the most. I'm of what? Who's the name? Apollos. Apollos. I'm of Cephas, that's Peter. Or I am of Christ. This guy, because he was so guided by this couple, he reached a level of influence. He was put on the same par as Paul. He was put on the same level as Peter. Yes, what was done was wrong, but what I'm trying to show you is the impact that this couple had on this man. Share the word of God. Share the word of God. Now, as we come to the end of the message today, I want to tell you, we all have an opportunity to share God's word. And I want to talk a moment. We're going to show a video clip in a second here, okay? Infomercial. Say it. Infomercial, okay? Next series. Noah. I am so pumped up about this opportunity that we have to be equipped with the whole idea of engaging our community. There's a blockbuster movie coming out in a couple weeks on Noah. Now, like we said last week, lots of Christian movies, no, not Christian, Christian-themed movies. Let me correct my statement, okay? Christian-themed movies are out there, okay? And I'm not getting on board of all these movies or whatever. You could spend forever or whatever on that, okay? But I'm telling you, I am very concerned about the Noah movie, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, whenever the book of Genesis gets attacked, we got to step up, okay? It is the very foundation of everything we believe in, okay? And although this got a movie's got some cool things in it or whatever, I haven't seen it, but just what I've heard about it, okay? I'm telling you, millions of people are going to go see this movie. Now, I can't do anything about millions, but I can do something about a few hundred, okay? I shepherd this flock. He's a chief shepherd. I work under him, okay? And it's my job to guide our church, okay? But the whole idea is for us to get equipped so that we can engage our community. So what I want to do in this series is I want to come alongside of you like Aquila and Priscilla came alongside Apollos. And I want to guide you in this, okay? And I'm not telling you go to the movie, not go to the movie. That's not what I'm about, okay? That's up to you or whatever, okay? But the point is, I'm telling you, millions of people, when they're done with this movie, they're going to think Noah is crazy is what they're going to think. Noah wasn't crazy. He was courageous. And we're going to be talking about Noah, and the theme of this series is going to be living out a courageous faith. And so I want to encourage you to be here next Sunday and to be part of this time together. And again, I want to be an Aquila and Priscilla. I want to come alongside of you. I want to show you the way of God.